And now it's time for the show you waited for all week long. It's time to get out and about with Elaine LaRoche. And without further ado, here's your host, Elaine.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Out and About with Elaine. We have a huge show today. We've got a couple of people coming in, and but I did want to talk about a little bit of what happened last night, and we actually lost power, and so that was pretty interesting. I was at Applebee's in North Attleboro, who has a separate electric company. The North Attleboro town has their own electric company.
Oh, I thought they had their own electric company in the back room somewhere.
No, or electric company is a PBS show for kids. But seriously, Attleboro lost power. 14,000 families lost power, and I was one of them. And you know, it's interesting because as I left Route 1 to get on Route 1 to go home, everything was in darkness. I mean, it was totally black, and you had thunder and lightning all around you. And the police, the Attleboro police, God bless them all, they had to go out there. And at every intersection, they were there to make sure people were slowing down before you got into, like, crossing over an intersection. It was pretty scary and hairy, I have to say. And
I can imagine.
And my son and his wife and the two children, too, they burned candles and flashlights and stuff like that, he said. But the power came back on, which is really, really great. And so that is a really good thing. But when you don't have power, you know, when you think about all the things that you do and, like, I wanted to go to the ATM, and I couldn't go because there was no ATM.
Power.
There's no power. You can't take a shower because the electric heater, you know, that flips on the switch. There's no power. The refrigerator, you know, you have to keep it shut. No lights. And think about this. Like, when I went back in my house to stumble through the dark to try to get some clothes to go over a friend's house to stay, it's really amazing when you walk into your house and you don't have a flashlight as soon as you walk in. So I was saying to my friend, I said, you know, next time I got to make sure that I have a flashlight by the door, put a flashlight in my car because I never want to do this again. And I probably in all my life, it'll never happen again. But it was quite amazing to witness that.
It goes to show you, Elaine, how much we take things for granted every day.
Yeah, that's true.
Like lights.
Yes, that's true. Well, listen, I had a fantastic week. The Best of Rhode Island was Thursday evening at Providence Performing Arts Center. And I'm just going to do a sidebar here. I have to brag because all the winners were from Channel 10. So like Gene Valicenti, Alison Bologna, Frank Carpano, Patrice Wood, I'm just looking at all the pictures that I was taking. Frank Coletta, of course, and Mark Searles. And then the best female meteorologist was Kelly Bates. So that was really fantastic. It was really fantastic. And I got a chance to meet other local Rhode Island media folks, and it was quite nice. I met the mayor of Providence and Congressman Langevin and a few other folks, but it was really cool, you know. It was just a really great, wonderful time to see your kid get an award, you know. It just really is mother to daughter. We had a fantastic time. We had so much laughs. We did, and it was really cool to see her get recognized by so many people coming up and wanting their picture taken with her, and it was just really heartfelt. It was just really
fantastic.
Saw
the pictures, Elaine. You guys look so much alike. It's so strange.
People were saying that. They're going, "Your sister's right." I go, because she said, "Well, this is." They go, "Your sister," and I go, "She says no, my mom." And they go, "They're looking at both of us." They go, "No." I go, "Yeah." So I loved it. I don't know about her, but we had a great moment. We really did. And there are special moments in time that you just look back on in your life, and this will be one of them, a highlight. It was just really fantastic. So, yeah, congratulations to the Channel 10 team and especially to Kelly. So that was really great. Yeah. So our number here is 508-222-1320. The Attleboro Farmers Market is coming, so 9 to 1 p.m. today. So I'm anxiously awaiting to see what bumper crops are going to be there. So just to give you a heads up, too, next Saturday I will be in Virginia, but our show will be live. We have Tom Raff coming on. The Raff Man. So Tom Rafferty will be here with Mike and talking about the Red Sox. I mean, the Yankees.
That's bad.
And so I will not be calling in because I will be super busy with family and everything. So we're real excited. We're doing a family trip, actually. My sister and my husband are going down Tuesday. I'm going down Thursday, well, actually Friday at 1 a.m. And my brother and his wife are leaving at 6 a.m. So, but we're all caravanning. I think two of us are going to caravan back on Sunday. So that'll be great. So it's a fast turnaround trip. But we're surprising our other sister in Yorktown, Virginia, with a surprise birthday party. Her daughter's putting that on. So she thinks I'm in a conference in Richmond, Virginia, and I'm going down there. So it'll be really fun to do. So anyway, you know what the coolest thing is? My niece said to us, can you just say something funny about, you know, your life with my mom, and videotape it and send it to us, and we'll put it together for this party, right? So I had the perfect thing. I did. I had a perfect thing. And, I mean, I have it, but I won't play it on air, but I do have it. But when we were little, I'll do a sidebar because this is true. This is true. God. Three sisters, two brothers, okay? And my younger sister and I, oh, my God, we used to, oh, God, it was crazy times. But anyway, one particular time, I had to go downstairs. My mom and dad are children of the Depression, so my mother always had canned goods and soups and tuna fish and everything downstairs in a pantry. My dad had built her a nice pantry downstairs. So to go downstairs to get a can of peas, a corn, a green beans, or whatever, you always had to go downstairs. So my mom worked at Bradford Soap Company from 3 to 11. So when I got home from school, I would, like, she would have like a meatloaf and potatoes, whatever. So I would make the dinner, and then everybody would come back and eat it and stuff. But you had to go downstairs every day, I mean, to get a can of corn or peas or beans or whatever. So one particular day, I'm laughing now, but it was really very not nice. I went downstairs to get the vegetable, and I turned the corner, and I'm going down, and now I'm reaching for the can, and my sister Donna thought it'd be great fun to shut the light off on me. So now I'm in pitch black, can't see anything, trying to figure a way how to get up the stairs and try to remember how to do it. I scrape my knees, I bump my elbows, I'm like freaking out because it's black, dark downstairs. So I get up to the stairs and I'm banging on the door. She wouldn't let me out, so I had to go back down, stumbling all the way down, going out the back door, the bulkhead, going up, coming around and trying to get in the house. Of course, she locked the doors on me because I was going to kill her. So to make a long story short, when my dad was coming at like at 5:05, he was coming home. So she unlocked the door and ran upstairs and locked herself in. But it left a mark on me. So what happened was I said, I've been afraid of the dark ever since. Wow. So now I am older, but I swear to God, I sleep with a nightlight, or I sleep with the lights on, a kitchen light or something. So my video to her was, you know, making a very funny, lighthearted thing and saying how, you know, playful she was as a child. You know, she did this to me. And I said, yes, and no matter how old I am, I said, I still have to sleep with this. And I showed, like, the nightlight. I said, because I still am afraid of the dark. And everybody I'm showing it to, they were laughing. They said, oh, that's a good one. But it's true. I mean, you know, siblings do things to siblings, you know. But it's funny because fast forward now, she suffered a couple of strokes and stuff and had some bad health. We're so close. And I take her down to Virginia every August. She comes up here by train, and I take her back down. I do a road trip with her. And we have so much fun. So anyway, that's my story for today, for childhood memories. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Also, daily lottery numbers. If you have played, good luck. The Mass daily number is 2767. Well, that's good. Rhode Island daily number is 5313. So we get duplicates. Okay. Mass cash, 6, 10, 12, 26, 27. That's it. I'll read the number again. Mass cash number is 6, 10, 12, 26, 27, Mega Millions, 8, 24, 25, 26, 30, the Mega Ball is 7, and the Mega Plier is 4. Whew, that is a lot of things. So if you've been affected by the power, you wake up today, the power came back on, and the lightning storm was a show to be seen. Honest
that was
to God.
Cool.
That was just unbelievable. It kept lightning and the rain, but mostly the lightning and the thunder and everything. And so I got to ask Jim Corbin about the lightning strikes and the thunder, like how many miles it was. I think it's like you count 5 seconds for every mile, but I'm not sure. But we'll be talking to him at 7:35, so he may be stopping in. I'm not sure. It would be great to see him, so or calling in, so we'll get a feel for what's going on. So, yeah, it'll be great. But it's going to be a nice day today. There are a couple of things I wanted to mention. We've had Georgie Porgy, our good friend of our show. He'll be performing tonight, actually. There's going to be several things, and I'll get to George in just a second, but there's Mass Vet Music Fest, and that's from noon to 5 at Battleship Cove, and they have a barbecue lunch, and vets can, talk to other vets, and there's first responders, and it's just a really great time to come together with music and food. But also, too, at Pierce Field today in East Providence from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. today and 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. tomorrow, Precision Harley-Davidson is going to be sponsoring this Battle of the Bands, and they're going to bring down all their bikes, their new bikes, their used bikes. They're going to have merchandise and everything. It's going to be a fun, great family fun day. And then at the Attleboro Elks, they're also having a Battle of the Bands, and the reason why I was mentioning George is because he will be performing tonight at 9 p.m., he said. And there's a ton of bands and a ton of food. And so they're asking everybody to come on out. And it's a 21-plus festival, though, they're saying. So you have to do that. So I'll just read this real quick. So Georgie Porgy and the Crybabies will be performing at the Attleboro Still Rocks Festival. And it's set from noon to 11 p.m. So they start, too, at the Attleboro Elks on South Main Street. And so George will be there. And like I said, it's a 21-plus festival. And all proceeds go to the School of Rock in Attleboro Scholarship Fund. Tickets are $20 in advance, $30 at the door. So you can get them at Nostalgia and More, or you can certainly show up. This is going to be a really great time, too. So they're also, everybody's having these festivals from noon to 11. So they're noon to 11. Precision Harley's is 11 to 11. And the Vet Center is noon down at Battleship Cove. So, yeah, there's a lot of different music festivals. The Kids Expo, I just wanted to bring it to your attention. That's going to be coming up. And this is a really great event for children and families at Capron Park. And that's going to be July 30th. It's going to be so much fun. And the Sun Chronicle is one of the sponsors, but they have face painting. They have storytelling, pony rides. There's going to be prizes. It says the Sun Chronicle, you have a chance to win a great prize. The first 250 children will receive a sports packet filled with goodies. So there's going to be all kinds of different programs for the children, and it's for kids from preschool all the way up. So check it out and I'll leave this here for Dominic and Paul and Dave on June 30th from noon to 4 p.m. So that's going to be happening in our area as well. So we're a little bit over. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. I have Mike Catanzaro on the board. We have Jim Corbin calling in at 7:35. And we have you listening to us. So you're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Party starts to come alive until the day is dawning.
The ninth
annual National Ovarian Cancer Coalition 5K Run Walk to break the silence on ovarian cancer will take place on July 30th at Roger Williams Park. The event celebrates survivors, remembers those lost to ovarian cancer, and increases awareness about the disease. Stop by the Roger Williams Park Temple for the 5K run, survivor tent experience, and more. Opening ceremonies will take place at 9:10 a.m., followed by the race start at 9:30. To register for the race and for more information, visit ovarian.org and find the quick link for run walk information.
I'm Paul George of the Indiana Pacers. When I was six, I had one thing on my mind. When I was six, my days were spent playing basketball every chance I could. When I was six, my dream was to make it to the NBA. When I was six, my mom had a stroke. So I want you to learn the signs of a stroke fast. F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. I'm Paul George. Protect the ones you love. Spot a stroke F-A-S-T. Fast. Life is why. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout. Tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
On September 27th from 6:30 to 8 p.m., the Mansfield Public Library will host a Social Security workshop presented by Bob Wolf, Executive Director and Financial Advisor of J.P. Morgan Securities in Boston. Bob will educate the group about retirement and Social Security with research backed by J.P. Morgan Chase. His presentations are created to assist attendees in making informed decisions for years to come. To register for the program, contact Amy Rosa at 508-261 17380.
Yes, I am playing Up, Up, and Away only because the South County Hot Air Balloon Festival is today at URI Athletic Fields. And this is a really great chance if you've never been in a hot air balloon. I have, and it's just really great to glide around. You know, it's just really a fantastic feeling. But these are tethered, meaning that they're tied down, so you won't be going up, up, and away. But anyway, it's a lot of fun to go down there. And John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band is going to be playing. Jeez, it's going to be children's activities and fireworks, and it just seems like it's just going to be a really great time. Adults $10, children $5, children under the age of 4 are free, and it's just going to be a really great time to go down there. So if you, and it's always fun to see those beautiful balloons, they're just really fantastic. And tonight, later at 8 o'clock, there's going to be a full water fire in Providence, so you can come out and down, and that's a family fun. Fantastic time, too, to see the water fire, the lighting of the water fires and the music playing throughout. They generally have themes going on, and they don't seem to be showing something about the theme. So, oh, I'm sorry. Trinity Repertory Company will present a free English and Spanish adaptation of Shakespeare's, excuse me, Romeo and Juliet on Waterplace Bass and Stage. So you get a chance to hear some really great performers, too. Mike and I were talking about Bradford Soap during the break, and I remember, like, we were talking, so I'll just bring you in the conversation, too. But basically, my mother would come home every month. They would give you, like, the rejected soaps and things like that from, I'm going to mention soap that you probably haven't heard in years, like Bonnie Bell Soap and High Karate and Soap on a Rope came from them. Remember Soap on a Rope?
I remember that.
It was just, like, really cool, but they gave them Castile soap, like detergent and stuff like that. I mean, they really took care of every single employee. They really did, and she was a supervisor from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. And it's quite remarkable. She worked very, very hard, and then she eventually worked for a doctor. I was working for a doctor as a medical receptionist, and she took that over when I moved to Connecticut. But
at least you were clean.
Oh man, I tell you, something else. That soap was just really amazing. She had so much soap. She had so much soap, right? When I got married, she would give us soap. And when I moved to Maryland, she got me soap. I think I had soap when I moved to Indiana and back to, you know, like back to Massachusetts and, I mean, Maryland. And I mean, we had soap all the time. It was like, I think Bonnie Bell's soap was like 6 years. I finally opened up the last bar of soap. It was like, and she had it left there years ago. But I mean, they kept giving them all the rejects and stuff like that. But it still smelled great, you know? I mean, it was like, what? And now you price out like Bonnie Bell soap. I don't even know if they even make it anymore. But I mean, it was nothing wrong with that. Just a few nicks and dents, but they couldn't sell it because it had to be perfect when it went.
You probably could get it online, Elaine. I know like, if you go on like Amazon or someplace like that, you can get discontinued items. You might have to pay a little bit more for the nostalgia, but you could probably get it. I know my cousin, when he worked there, he told me that, I guess, Bradford Soap Works makes all the soaps. They have all the formulas for the scents for almost everything out there that they do. And it's amazing because the back of his trunk smelled like so clean, and he gave me samples too. He had like a trunk load of samples.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Like, every month they would get, every employee would get a bag. I mean, like a long, I mean, a really, a brown paper bag would come, and it was like the end of the month. Okay, and here comes the soap, you know, and.
The
and
one
we
good
used
thing
it. It was unbelievable.
Is you never had to buy soap.
Never. Oh my God.
And
that,
you were clean
oh
and you smelled
God.
Nice all the time.
For sure. That's for sure. Oh my God. But it was just really an amazing place. And they sold it to an English company because it was a family run. And then they sold it to another company. And I go by West Warwick all the time because
it's
I'm from
there.
And my some of my family still lives in Coventry. So I'm down in the valley, as I call it, most of the time. So I check it out, and I drive by there with fond memories, and it was really cool to know that she was there, too, for a little bit. Well, you are listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. It looks like it's going to be a really fabulous day today, and the Attleboro Farmers Market is going to be starting up at 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we always want to make sure that we buy fresh and buy local, so we want you to check that out, and it's going to be so fantastic. I can't wait to talk to Jim Corbin about our day because it's just going to be great, just great. So this weekend is filled with a lot of activities and a lot of Battle of the Bands and fundraising events, and tis the season, you know, I mean, and it's always good to get out there and support everybody, whether you want to go down to South County and check out the hot air balloons, or if you love music and you want to go down and you have like Battleship Cove, you got Pierce Field in East Providence, or in Attleboro, the Attleboro Elks. So you've got all these wonderful venues to check out, and I hope you do. I hope you get out and about and do something really special. So, but I'm getting ready for my trip. So after here, I'm going to run a AAA and pick up my triptychs, I guess they call it. Yeah. I mean, even though I have a Garmin, I'm still old school in the way that I like maps. And I understand that Connecticut is going to have a lot of construction, or has construction. So I want to try to see if I can go around Connecticut instead of going through it. So we'll see what happens.
You know, you can get like a little, like, I don't know what you call it, not Garmin, but what's the other one? TomTom lady, to come on your phone and tell you how to get to where you're going to.
Well, I have navigation here that doesn't, I mean, I want to have my, I trust.
You want a map.
No, I want a map. I want my map. And I also, because I have Waze, W-A-Z-E, which is a traffic app. And that is a fantastic thing because, and I'll show it to you in the next break. But it's a pretty cool app that'll show you where the traffic is. But it also shows you like speed traps, and it also shows you where, if there's an accident, or if it's, or traffic is slowing down. I mean, it's great, but you know, give me my Garmin to navigate through. We clearly see, you can see
the maps.
You can see everything right there, and I rely on that 90% of the time. But because like I'm going back with my brother and his wife, they may want to avoid Connecticut altogether. And I said, well, how do you go? You know, so I have a feeling that when you hit New York, you veer off, and or maybe not even go through New York. I don't know. But it'll be an adventure coming back. So.
I would think they would go probably through, was it all the way across Massachusetts, western Massachusetts, then go down the other way and just avoid Connecticut altogether.
Oh, maybe that's what he's thinking
maybe
of
that's
doing.
What he's thinking of doing.
The Mass Pike or something like that. Oh, my God.
Wonder why they want to avoid Connecticut.
Because of the construction.
Oh, there's a lot of construction going on?
Last Saturday, my nephew was driving through it, and it was 40-minute backup, I guess, with traffic. So
wow.
Yeah, it was not fun. It was not fun. Yeah. So he said, well, Elaine, you know, when we go down, we'll come back. And so he said to me last night, he said, so how fast do you drive? I go, what do you mean? He says, well, 70? And I go, on occasion. He goes, ugh. He goes, I'm going 70 or more. I said, well, have fun at that. I said, because if we're driving back together now, we decided we're going to drive back.
That's scary.
I said, you're going 70 or more? I said, are you kidding me? I said, you're crazy. He said, yep, I know. And I said, well, because down there, like, speed limits are like 65, 70. You can go up to 70.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it's open road and it's, you know. It's really beautiful down in Virginia, but when you get to Maryland, yeah, like I like to go around the Beltway and go around, like you go up to Richmond and then you go around to D.C. and Maryland, and then you get on 90, you can get on 95 in Maryland and go up, and or Richmond you go up to 95 straight out and everything. So, but there's a Maryland Crab House that I like to go to, and I said to them, we're going to stop at this rest stop, kiddo. I said, because they have Phillips Crab something, and they have the best crab cakes, other than going down to, you know, Annapolis. And
now, which do you like better, Elaine, crabs or lobsters?
Ooh,
that's
boy.
A tough one, huh? Have you had any lobster sandwiches yet?
I did.
Yeah,
last week.
Where did you go?
McDonald's, of all places.
Really?
And I have to say, it was real.
Real lobster.
I had a real claw. It was like, oh my God, they really know how to do it.
That's like getting lemonade and finding a real lemon in it.
Yeah, I was really thrilled.
A real claw.
It really, and it was really good, I have to say. It wasn't really
a plastic claw from the children's meal?
Yeah, it spilled over. It was kind of tough to chew, but what the heck. But no, I have to say, I was really impressed. But I like boiled lobster in the summertime, and the crab cake sliders that I make are pretty good, too. So, well, folks, I hope that you are on your first cup of coffee and listening to us here on Out and About with Elaine. And in studio, I have Mike Catanzaro. We have Jim Corbin calling in at 7:35 or stopping in at 7:35, which I hope he will. Anyway, we have got to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back after these messages.
Metamorphosis, The Art of Altered Books will be exhibited from July 30th to November 6th at the Fuller Craft Museum in Brockton. The exhibit will feature mixed media artists who carve, gouge, fold, collage, and manipulate books to transform the printed pages into a sculptural object. A partial list of exhibiting artists includes Longbin Chen, Andy Hayes, Wendy Wall, and Jacqueline Rush Lee. For more information, call the museum at 508-588-6000.
What is that?
Oh, that? It's my time machine.
Does it work?
Sure. Just hit this button.
Whoa, dinosaurs. Cool.
Or we can go here.
Hey, that's Napoleon.
Oui.
Or we can go to the future.
Wow, hey, you have this nice house. Do I have a nice house?
No, you didn't save any money. Always spent it on vacations and stuff.
If only there was a way I could go back in time and correct that bad habit.
Yep. Okay, the time machine is not real, but the saving thing is. Get in the habit of putting some of your money in savings each week through a 401k, savings account, or financial investments. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy tips on saving, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org. What does this crazy little button do?
No! This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Historian Gary Highlander will present Hail to the Chief on November 17th at 10:30 a.m. at the Norton Public Library. Dr. Highlander will take us back to the Constitutional Convention of 1787, where the Office of the President and the Electoral College were created. As Connecticut Governor Samuel Huntington stated at the time, it was a new event in human history. Gary Highlander is a scholar and professor who has taught at Stonehill College and Framingham State University and lectured for many cultural and educational forums. For more information on the event, call the library at 508-285-0265.
Oh my God, Michael, that is too funny. We're listening to Weird Al Yankovic, and actually he is coming to Providence Performing Arts Center September 14th at 7:30, and I was talking to my daughter Kelly and my grandson Maxwell, and she are going to be going to this event. She says, Mom, you should come. It's just really a lot of fun. He's got so many songs and so many parodies and so many costume changes, and he's so funny. She said, you'd be laughing from start to finish. So I might consider doing it. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, good old Weird Al Yankovic is coming September 14th. Somebody else I haven't seen. I was really shocked to see Don Rickles. I wonder how old he is. He's coming on September 17th at 8 o'clock at Twin River. So he'll be bringing his sarcasm, if he can still make it, to Twin River on September 17th. So Don Rickles, 8 p.m. I remember when he was so popular that he would be playing Vegas all the time. I mean, like, he was just hanging out with Sinatra and all the Rat Pack at that time, and Don Rickles was just really unbelievable.
I'm trying to think who he was for me, because, I mean, whenever I hear that name, was he the ball-headed comedian?
Yes, all very right. Sarcastic.
Who was the guy that played the landlord on Three's Company, and he was also in, earlier, there was a cop police show in the late 60s, I forget his name. And he had not the Ropers, the guy after them or earlier before them. There was a landlord. I forgot what the name of that actor was.
I'm not sure.
That's originally who I thought he was.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not sure, because they had so many people changing Three's Company.
Oh, characters. Because they had actors.
Yeah, they left.
Jingle.
Yeah,
Jim Corbin's coming.
Suzanne Summers left.
Yep.
And then they had someone else fill in for her. And then they had other people come in. And then the landlord had changed too. So
Jim Corbin brought you a gift, a flashlight.
good morning, Jim.
Good morning. I told you I'd come by. I'm up early today. I'm going down to a friend of mine in Warwick because of the hot weather. I want to get it over with early.
So. Sure.
But it's funny. I heard you talking about flashlights, and we can talk. Do you have another guest coming in?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I'll just be a few minutes, but you know, the usual
time.
No,
please, yeah.
I can't. This is one of these flashlights. I'm not going to turn it. Well, I'm not going to point, but it's one of these high-powered ones that has different settings. But it's, you know, the ones that it has a strobe. Actually, let me turn it on. Well, this is good radio. I'm turning on a flashlight. But really. And
it's got the bat single.
Oh my God, cool!
Then you turn it off, turn it back. It's got a somewhat lesser amount. Then you get this. Where's the strobe? Oh.
Oh my God!
Lane could have used this last night.
There's the strobe.
Oh my God! Look
but
at
I have
that.
It in my. But the reason is I have it in my car. I've had it a couple of months, but I have it in my car if ever I need it, or even if I'm like I take a walk and my car's out in the parking lot, then I'll sometimes carry it with me because it's fairly small. But
yes.
But you were talking about the power outage last night.
Please.
Yeah, I was on a couple times with Jim Jones, who was, I don't know if you heard, was on the air last evening during the outage giving information. And it looked to me, and it hasn't been 100% confirmed, but it was mostly high power transmission lines that were struck. Most thunderstorms are cloud to cloud, cloud to air. Less of them are cloud to ground. But last evening's was cloud to ground, more likely, and that's what. And because of the so many people were affected by it. It definitely was not definitely, but most likely it was due to hitting high transmission lines. If you had a lightning strike that hit just say a local power area, say a local telephone, a transformer, you might have a couple of blocks out of power.
Mm-hmm.
But this is probably a high transmission line because you said it hit into Rehoboth, I think, or
Seekonk.
Seekonk, I think it was. There's a chance later on this afternoon there could be some shower and thunderstorm activity again. But
oh, really?
The real story is the heat. It's going to break a little bit tomorrow. Low 90s today with a chance of a shower thunderstorm, as is usually the case. It's late afternoon or evening, like last evening. And then, so that would be the same this afternoon, evening. Now, I'm not expecting another power outage, but a note, very little chance of anything tomorrow. So tomorrow, if you have plans to doing things, it'll be a little more comfortable tomorrow. But then the heat and humidity is back Monday. And then it looks like we're going to get some, hopefully, some at least decent rains Monday night. And then a little more refreshing the middle of next week.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Thunder, lightning,
yeah.
Is it a 5 second for each mile?
Yeah, it is actually. Sound travels about a mile every 5 seconds. So if you see the lightning, okay, you see the lightning instantaneously.
Mm, right.
So you count, generally, over the years, I've just been able to count. I can almost count seconds up to about a minute and get it right within 1 second. Yeah, so seconds are 1, 2, 3, 4, bang, 5 seconds. That means when you see the lightning and then you count and it's 5 seconds, that means the lightning was 1 mile away. Now, the more important thing is, what's the change? So
right.
If you see lightning again, say you see the lightning, a few seconds later,
yes.
Ooh, there's another lightning.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, bang! That's 4/5 of a mile away.
Wow.
Then if you see the lightning again, you're looking around and here's another one.
Yep.
1, bang! That's 2/5 of a mile away, or roughly about 1,500 feet.
Wow.
So, that's why, like last night in Mansfield, where I was, we didn't lose power, fortunately, but because Mansfield actually has its own electric company, I believe. But anyway, we had one where it was lightning, bang! That was the ones where it's less than 1,000 feet away. That was probably 500 feet, and that really shook the area where I was. But then the next lightning was about 5 seconds again, and it was a mile away. So we were right on the edge of it. So the lightning in Mansfield wasn't as intense as the Attleboro area.
Mm.
I don't know if they've confirmed where it struck, but my guess would be that it struck a high transmission line for that many people to lose power. So how long were you out for?
Well, I was having dinner in North Attleboro at Applebee's with my brother and his wife last night.
Yep.
The power was on. I get out, and they went up the street to North Attleboro to get going because they live in Smithfield or something. So they were going a different way.
Yeah.
I went south, heading down to South Attleboro to get to one County Street.
So where did the lights suddenly come off?
As soon as I get out of Applebee's and made a left turn by Emerald Square Mall, come down, it was dark. Like Best Buy, it was just, and you go down the hill,
yeah.
Pitch black. I mean,
that's
both
tough,
sides,
yeah.
It was just really hard. And people were like, everybody slowed down, I have to say, because I called into Jim, too, and I gave him an update of what was going on because I was on the scene.
Yeah.
So, but basically, it was pretty scary. But the police, I have to say, Attleboro Police Department.
They were guiding people through lights.
They were. They were.
The
they had their lights on and at every intersection, so people were slowing down. And everybody gave everybody the right-of-way, which was great. They weren't anybody speeding or anything. You couldn't see. It was just really surreal.
I heard Mike as well a few minutes ago talking about how we really rely on, you don't realize what you have until it's gone, like people or whatever, but also electricity and everything,
yeah.
Almost everything we do, which is why over the last few years I've known not a lot of people that I know, but I've heard a lot of people buying generators. Now obviously if you're out like you were last night driving, you're not going to have the generator, but people that have it at their house or apartment, whatever. Especially house, obviously, you usually have to own it to have it. But generators are a big thing over the last few years, and essentially really around this area since Hurricane Irene.
Oh.
When we had a lot of power outages, not just in Attleboro, but Rhode Island. And so there was a run on generators because people were thinking, gee, I'm not going to go through this again. You know,
right.
So that was really the last time we had power outages fairly widespread. And, of course, that was more not lightning related, but just widespread trees falling on wires. So in that case, it wasn't like last night where it was a solid area of, you know, within a few miles all around that most likely high tension wire. The Irene power outages was just widespread wherever trees were falling on wire. So it was more all over the place, but in between there were people that had power, you know. So you might go down your street, you have no power, you go down the street, you see, then all of a sudden there are several houses or several streets with power, and then back into the darkness. Whereas last night it was essentially, as you observed, you'd go for at least a couple of miles, right?
Oh my God, yeah. It was. And my son, who lives on the other side, on South Main, the whole street too was down too. So it was from, like, as soon as like as soon as you went over the Attleboro, North Attleboro line, total darkness all the way over to South Main.
So all that stretch, you never saw a couple of places that had the lights on?
Every house was in darkness.
Yeah.
I have an app on my phone that has flashlight, and that's how I got into the house. And I barely just got clothes out and went to my friends in Walwick because they had electricity. But watching the light show, oh my God, it was quite a remarkable storm.
Yeah, especially when you at night, even when there hasn't been a power outage, lightning at night is much more impressive because it's dark, and so that's why it was impressive. So hopefully that won't be the case later today or tonight.
Right.
I know you talked about the balloon festival, right?
Yep.
That is that this morning or this evening?
It is.
I thought it was this morning because they usually like to fly balloons in the early morning when the winds are light.
Yeah, I that's right, because I know that when I had to do it at like 5:30 a.m. or something when I did it. But
yeah, that's whenever because that's the time of day when nine times out of ten you're going to have the light winds because they don't want these balloons to be flying all over the place.
Right.
Essentially, you're just up. Like you put up and away with my beautiful, you know.
Yep.
So that's the time of day, and it's also the best time of day in the summertime because there's not very little chance of lightning.
Oh.
Because you get thunderstorms are usually late afternoon. So the worst time to schedule one of those balloons.
It's 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. That's what they're saying.
Well, but I think
festival,
it's more than just it's the festival. But going up in the balloon, I don't think they do it in the late afternoon.
No,
especially today because of the fact that we do have thunderstorms in the forecast again.
Right, but there it's a tethered ride.
Yeah, you go up.
See, like this here, they just tether them online so they can just go up. And
now, the one that you said you were in, was tethered or that?
Oh, no, that was, we started in Pawtucket, and it went up, and it landed in North Attleboro High School Field.
Now, did they know when you were launched, did they tell you, like, now we're gonna be landing at wherever?
Nope.
So, and what do you do when you land? Do they take you back?
No, they have a runner car. And the balloon.
Just follows it on the ground.
They just take you back. Yeah, they just do that.
That's the interesting thing about that. I've never been on one, but
it glides across the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
Very slowly moving. It's so surreal. It's just. Really
but it's interesting
great.
How it, when it's not tethered though, that it's like you could end up anywhere, right? You know, and that's why on rare occasions you sometimes see video of these things going into high power lines, you know, which is terrible to bring up, but like last night with the lightning, but that's good. I'm glad that you had a nice time with that. So
yes, yeah.
Well,
so
anyway,
they have, I wanted to tell you real quick. See the basket and the balloon and everything.
Yeah.
In that basket, they have champagne, and you know why?
Nice. Well,
there's a history.
Oh,
not
okay.
Not that I like champagne, but I.
you did have it though. What the heck?
Yeah, I did because I guess back in the day when they were flying these, some of these were landing in farm fields, and the farmers thought that it was something falling from the sky. So the balloonist would always carry a bread and cheese and wine or champagne.
Not even water? They wouldn't do it. So it had to be champagne?
No, it had to be champagne. And it was like a gesture of friendship that it was harm, like no harm and stuff like that. But I don't know. So now to this day, that's the tradition they tell me. I think that, you know, I drink wine or champagne, it don't matter to me. So,
that's it.
But it's quite a nice tradition that they always do that at the end of the ride. You
nice.
Sit there and they open up a bottle of champagne for you. That's part of the charm, I guess, of ballooning. Yeah. But it's pretty remarkable, that's for sure. But, yeah, this here is just a tethered ride. But they start at 11 o'clock today. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Again, the heat is on today, and it looks like it's going to continue with variability by a few degrees, really, most of next week.
Mm.
So we have some hot weather. And, again, we really, I'll end on this, and I know you're going to get to the break.
I'll just say
that we really need the rain, as I've been saying for the last few weeks. Many have, you know, and so let's hope we at least get something, perhaps Monday night.
All right, great. Hold you right there.
Okay.
I'd like to thank Jim for giving us that update. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We'll be right back after these messages.
Norton Public Library will host an Impressionist painting class for adults on August 2nd at 6 o'clock p.m. in the library's community room. Sandy Churchill will teach you how to paint a summer landscape in the Impressionist style. Beginning painters will learn about Claude Monet's Impressionist style and create their own summer landscapes with a Monet look and feel. All materials will be provided, including paints, brushes, and watercolor canvas. Space is limited and pre-registration is required for this fun and engaging paint night. To register, call the library at 508-285-0265.
Go, Caleb! Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
A talented team of 8 artists working in diverse mediums will exhibit their art in 8 Visions, a much-anticipated annual show at the Attleboro Arts Museum. The exhibition will be on display from August 12th to September 10th. The opening reception and an artist's talk will take place on August 12th, starting at 6:30 p.m. Gallery hours for 8 Visions are Tuesday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The opening reception, artist's talk, and exhibition are free and open to the public. For more information, visit the museum's website, attleboroartsmuseum.org.
Last chance for love. Yes, it's my last chance for romance tonight. I need you.
I like that song by Donna Summers. It's a beautiful song. Beautiful song. I'm cutting the song short only because Jim has a time constraint, so we want to respect that and appreciate him coming live. If you have a weather question, too, this is the perfect time to call, 508-222-1320. And so we were talking about different weather phenomena.
Yeah.
So tell me about traffic. How?
Well, no, you were talking about being stuck in traffic. And about 3 years ago, my brother and I drove up from Florida all up the East Coast because we had it in a truck, actually, because we had to take some of my mother's stuff from down there when she passed away. We gave it all away to people up all up on the East, and we stopped at my sister-in-law's place just outside of Annapolis.
Oh yeah.
But we went around that beltway, and the traffic was just absolutely. And it wasn't even like a Friday afternoon. It was like off hours, and it was still bad. Then we went over that bridge over Chesapeake Bay that has almost just Jersey barriers on.
Oh,
you know,
my
the
God.
One. You know the one that goes way up.
Yeah, I do.
Near Annapolis. It's near Annapolis.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
No, it is the Chesapeake Bay Tunnel.
Not the tunnel.
Oh, no, not the tunnel.
The one that's close in to almost not too far from Annapolis. It's like near. It goes over Chesapeake Bay, though, but it on either side are just Jersey barriers, and it falls off like at the top, like 200 or 300 feet.
Oh,
so I'm surprised. But anyway, we were in bad traffic there, and then a year or so before that, I remember coming back from Cooperstown, New York.
So we
were coming in from just south of Albany, and then got onto the Mass Pike.
Mm-hmm.
And once we got just a few miles into Massachusetts on the Mass Pike. It was a Friday afternoon.
Oh, boy.
We were stuck in traffic from Beckett, roughly, which is Western Mass, the Berkshires, all the way to that Route 84 Sturbridge area, going almost nowhere, and then still stuck in traffic almost all the way to 495. It took us about 3 hours to go what should have been maybe 35, 40 minutes. Now, I know a lot of people have been worse than that, but you talk about traffic. Timing is everything. You don't want to be on the Mass Pike on a Friday afternoon. I've heard that.
Right.
By the way, there's a website, SigAlert. Have you ever heard that one? SigAlert. That's one where you can look to see what the traffic. He's writing it down. You can see where the traffic is, where there are accidents. It might not be as elaborate as what you were talking about earlier, SigAlert, and it's pretty good. It shows all around.
You get this on your phone, Jim?
I can, although I usually look at it every once in a while on the laptop. But but you can get it. It's an online thing, and I look at it for Providence and Boston, and it's every day in the morning. Not that I look at it every day because I'm not usually traveling. You see the Southeast Expressway in red, so it shows red is going at like 2 miles an hour. Yellow, and then if it's green, that's moving along at a good speed.
Does it also tell you like the estimated time that it would, like how much long you'd be in traffic?
I'm not sure if it does, but I'm not on it enough to really like get into some of the special stuff that it has. I just every once in a while will look at it, just like oftentimes like this. This morning, for example, if you went on it, I'm sure it's red right down by the Bourne and Sagamore bridges, for people going to the Cape.
Right.
And if you click on one spot on the highway, it only gives you mostly main highways, but if you click on a spot, it'll give you the average speed of everyone at that location.
Wow, that's great. So, I definitely will look into that and download that.
Yeah, it's been
that
around,
app.
I think, a year or two. I'm not, into it a lot because I'm not doing a lot of highway traveling, but if you are, it's a good thing.
Wow, that's a great tip. I really appreciate that. So you're out and about yourself today.
Yeah, I like on the way back, maybe before it gets really hot, maybe I'll stop back at the farmer's market. But they've had a great run of weather. I mean, even was it a week or two ago when it was a cloudy day?
Yes.
But
it
still wasn't raining for the most part. It was, and of course they do have, a lot of them have the canopies or whatever. But it does look like, again, I'll end on this, as I always say, a late afternoon or evening thunder shower in spots today. Hopefully, obviously, not to the intensity of what we had last evening.
Right.
And then it looks like somewhat less hot tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much
for
stopping in and having a wonderful weekend yourself.
Oh,
and
you enjoy.
I want you to call in next week, even though I'm not going to be here, but Tom Rafferty will be here. So,
all right.
Yeah, it'll be great. So,
and I'll see you. Then you'll be back on in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Okay.
I will. Yep.
All
so
right.
Have
I'll
a great time and a great day.
Thanks. And I'm going to take my flashlight back into the car.
And he does have a flashlight. So.
But it's small but intense.
That's right.
That's everyone needed last night. You don't want to use candles.
No, not at all.
All right, I'll see you.
Take care, Jim. Thanks for coming in.
Bye.
All right, there goes Jim Corbin, our meteorologist. It's always great to have him live in the studio, too. He's got such great knowledge. He's like one of the best of the best. He's just really phenomenal and knows so much about weather. It's just really great. So I was right. 5 seconds every 5 seconds is a mile, like he said. So
yep.
I was right. This is great. So anyway, folks, if you're out and about, we have so many things we had mentioned earlier. There's three events with the Battle of the Bands and everything from Attleboro Elks to Pierce Field in East Providence and Battleship Cove. So, and the, of course, the hot air balloons and many, many other things too. And also too, don't forget the Kids Expo at Capron Park on the, that's next week from 12 to 4 p.m. So we'd like to thank you for listening to Out and About with Elaine. I'd like to thank Mike Catanzaro and Jim Corbin for coming in and always enhancing my show. Dominic will be back on Monday at 6 a.m. to 9, followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. We will be back online 7 a.m. to 8, but I won't be here next week, but Tom Rafferty will be, as well as Mike. And Dave Kane will be here from 9 to noon next Saturday. So you have 6 days of live broadcast. So we hope you listen to WARA 1320. We thank you so very much for listening, and I wish you a fantastic week, and I'll be back soon.